I believe the time is coming when the Lord shall come again. I believe the end is nearing every day. I believe the good old Bible from beginning to the end. Just compare today with Matthew 24, and we are living in
the day he speaks about. All
these things we now are having every day. Just be ready, be ye watching, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. While upon the Mount of Olives his disciples came to him, saying, Master, tell us when these things shall be. Just be ready, be in watch, let each one be free from sin. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us it is worth to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these without your having in the Matthew will appear. We should live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Many wars shall come upon us when the end of time is here. Many earthquakes will be numerous in those days. All of these today we're having, and in Matthew will appear. We shall live our lives for him and sing his praise. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All the things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. And we are living in the day he speaks about. All these things we now are having every day. Let's get ready for his coming. Let us meet him with a shout. For he tells us in his word to watch and pray. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. Lord, I don't want to do one thing on my own. Put me where you want me, Lord, where I belong. Give me the strength, Lord, to do thy perfect will. And when I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. This world gets more wicked every day. People's hearts have grown cold, forgotten how to pray. But if I live to be 100, I'll be holding to your hand. Until you're gonna take me home to that promised land. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. This world gets more wicked every day. People's hearts are grown cold, don't know how to pray. But if I live to be 100, I'll be holding to your hand until you come and take me home to that promised land. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill. Lord, I want to be what you want me to be. Lord, I want to do the things you want me to do. Lord, I want to stay in the center of thy will. When I'm in the lowest valley, I can climb the highest hill.
There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do.
I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity, Lord, and find there is none like you. Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? Where would I be without Jesus? Where would I spend eternity? Lost in a world full of sorrow. Without Jesus, where would I be? So please let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, Lord, I could never. Don't ever make heaven my home. So please let me walk with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, Lord, I could never. Don't ever make heaven my home. So please let me love with you, Jesus. Don't ever leave me alone. For without you, Lord, I could never. Don't ever make heaven my home.
The only real peace that I have,
dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. In all life's frustrations, I need you, I know I do. For the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. In all life's frustrations, I need you, I know I do. For the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. The only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. In all life's frustrations, I need you, I know I do. For the only real peace that I have, dear Lord, is in you. There's peace in knowing, Lord, you're in control. You got your hand on my life, you got a hold on my soul. There's joy abundant, I just have to tell. I'm drinking sweet water from your living well. There's peace in knowing, Lord, you're in control. You got your hand on my life, you got a hold on my soul. There's joy abundant, I just have to tell. I'm drinking sweet water from your living well. There's peace in knowing, Lord, you're in control. You got a hold on my life, you got a hold on my soul. There's joy abundant, I just have to tell. I'm drinking sweet water from your living well. Yeah, I'm glad back in the day I've had to make a decision. I had to make a choice. And I made the right choice. I decided to follow Jesus. And there was no turning back. So it's been a pretty rough journey since the early 90s. Everybody has to make a choice in life, you know. We had to make a choice. Well, I chose to follow Jesus. And I have no regrets. So here we are, just winding down. Just a few more. Who knows when that rapture will happen? Somewhere up the road here, in our lifetime. And that's all we've done in the last 30, 40 years is do our level best to do things for the Lord. Because we had a man come to our house one day and He said he had an out-of-the-body experience. He was dead. Had a heart attack. That old boss of Force River called. Everybody knows him. That Joe Mandel. And he found himself. See, when you die, you're actually more alive than you are now.
Mm-hmm.
Then reality hits you. Like, right now, we're living in a world of tremendous deception. And nothing is real out here. Nothing is real in this world.
Mm-hmm.
And but here, this man, he saw reality. He saw it. He came back, and he tried to get into the pearly gates, and they wouldn't let him in. Then he begged and he pleaded, give me one more chance. I'll go back and I'll tell him what's important in life. And that's what he did. The Lord restored his health and he came back and he went colony to colony. Wherever they had an ear, wherever there was somebody that had that would give him a ear. Here, he did go to surgery. He didn't go to Hidden Valley because he was smart enough to know they wouldn't hear him. But he came to our place and he kind of gave his testimony that this is not it. This other life is not it. It's just deception.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't have to have a life out of that experience to know that. Very young already, the Lord started dealing with me about that Hutterite system. That system of religion is not it. That is not the way to heaven. See, I didn't need that because I knew it in my spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow the Lord was able to show me that this thing is not the way to heaven. And there is the path that is a very untrodden path mm-hmm. in this day and hour that leads to heaven. And like we always had that picture on the wall, the broad way and the narrow way. The narrow way is a path that not many people know, especially the Hutterites. They actually don't realize it, but in many way, in their materialism, they're walking on the broad way.
Mm-hmm. I had a dream about that Mayfair colony. I saw myself working down there, and it was the most horrible experience having to work in a Hutterite colony. And all it is I guess they pretty well top them all. All it is a world of materialism. Absolutely no value for no Jesus, no God, no spirituality. And it was like a horrible, horrible experience, like going back and working in the world of materialism.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad the Lord got me out of there. Now, all our resources, everything that we see and do, all our resources goes into this year program, and we got every cent that we spend is our own money that we saved up when we were trucking, and we don't take no tithes, we don't take no charity work from nobody, we don't want it, we're just doing everything for the Lord and trying to do what's best, you know, trying to be guided by that unseen hand, because that's the only thing that'll matter. We're here like I just said today, we're here on this earth. It's like when you go out in the spring and you sow, you know, it's the sowing time. You're here on earth for a little time where it's all about sowing, preparing for eternity. That's all we're doing here. And by the grace of God, we somehow found found a way to do it, you know, just surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him use you for your own, for his own glory, for his sake. And that's really the only way you can really be grateful. Everything else is just words, you know. But when you can truly say, Lord, do with me what you want to do. I want to do your perfect will. But anyway, we're going to go to that same subject we're on yesterday. If you and your whole household will believe, then you will be safe. Your whole house. If you believe, you and your whole household will be safe somehow. And I'll get into it, but I want to talk today about the other side of it, the negative side. If you don't believe, and there's an opposite. There's a positive and a negative. There's an opposite. What happens if you don't believe? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Heavenly Father, we just want to give you thanks for this another day of life. for the many things you do and have done for us, Lord. Let and guide us by your Spirit, Lord. We just pray to continue to do it as you see fit, Lord, because that's the only joy. The only joy there is in life is to serve you, Lord, and do our level best to crucify the flesh and to do things, Lord, that you want done. We just pray you'll help us to say the words and say the things you put on our heart. I just pray you'll give that increase. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hope you, if you will believe, I'm just trying to, I'll show you something here that I've been seeing all day yesterday. When you take a look and you look, we were taught in school, you know, like the sun and the planets. You know, there's 10 planets going around the sun. And they're all controlled by the sun. And Brother Branham, he used to say that the first Bible was written in a zodiac. The first Bible was written in the heavens and in the galaxy, you know. And if you can visualize, when we say, if you believe, your whole household will be saved, there's a transition taking place in your life. You're going from the things of this world and to the things that has eternal value, to heavenly things. That's what happens when you decide one day you're going to believe, and that's it. And then anyway, if you look up at the sun, you look at our solar system, there's the sun, and the sun controls all these planets that are around, that goes around the sun. The sun controls everything in our galaxy. If the sun don't shine, they control the gravity. The sun controls how far the earth will go from the sun. It's all controlled by the sun. And that's why, and if you look at that as a example and as a teaching thing, and like Brother Brennan said, the first Bible was written in the zodiac, and that's exactly what he meant. You look at the universe, you look at the galaxy, and you can see exactly what it means. If you believe, you and your whole household will be saved. He didn't say that to everybody. He said it to the jailer. He said it to that Ethiopian. He said it to the different ones. Because he knew if that certain individual, if he can get him out of this worldly, materialistic thing and set his sights towards the heavenly, and all of a sudden he begins to believe, then his whole house, somehow, God will see to it that if you could see yourself as being a son, he's going to see that your whole world, your whole galaxy is going to get saved somehow, because he wants your whole family structure there. So he said to this individual, like I know, I've had many experiences. I could tell you their names too, where I knew that God had a certain individual, and he can get that he or she, it's not just necessarily male, it's also female. When God can get that certain individual to get to a place where he can only believe, then God will somehow see to it that whole family structure, their siblings, her children and her grandchildren, that whole family structure will someday be saved. And I've had experience about this very thing time and time and time again. The Lord would move on me to go and talk to this certain individual. Like I take, for instance, that John here from Somerville, that boss, used to be boss, well, he's dead now. But when I think back, as far back as I can remember, the Lord would move on me to go and witness to that person, to go and talk to that person, to tell him about, he needs to let go of materialism. He was so dedicated to that Hutterite colony, his whole life was consumed up on it, and I could tell the Lord was dealing with him to get him out of that, to surrender and give his life to the Lord and just start working for the Lord. And so of course he's going to lose his job, of course he's going to be terminated, but see, God was working on that man over time and trying to woo him to the fact, to the point, just give up the material, give up your job, come and follow me. That's really what he said. And he couldn't do it. He just refused to do it. And then one day he just had a stroke. We sent him some books, and what he did, he didn't want to know that we sent him some. So he sent them back, and that was the end of Solomon Grundy. Once he sent them back, short time later, he had a stroke, and then he died. He rejected every opportunity that the Lord was trying to do to woo him to the point where he could believe, because he's not going to find no salvation at all. I call it. But God had to. God was wooing him. Was trying to level better to get that there to let go of materialism and to just come and follow me. That's all the Lord was trying to do. And then, had he done that, that whole, his old children, his siblings, all his whole household would have been saved. Whatever it takes so that he can come over in the age of eternity and that heavenly realm, and then his whole house, his whole family structure, whoever is there, his brothers, his siblings, his children, his grandchildren, that whole thing would be right there in glory. But because he refused, because God could not move him on, that, and he had a stroke and he died. And now you got to take the opposite. If you don't believe, your whole family structure will be damned. Just that simple. I have to say that, but I've experienced it time and time and time again, where the Lord would move on me, because I give my life to the Lord. I let the Lord do with me what he wants, and he would set things up. I would meet that man at the bank, and I would try to talk to him, and he came to the point where he even hated the thought of running into me, you know, because I was after him. I told him what he needs to do. Then you need to give up your job. You need to come and fight for the Lord. And, well, like I said, then he dies. And now that whole curse, we can't even talk to his kids, you know, his sons. And I see him and down there, we wanted to go visit him. The Lord won't let us go visit him. That's how bad it is when you reject the Lord. Because he had him honed out to be that son for that whole Sommerfeld Hofer empire. Just that simple. Mm-hmm. But because he refused, now there's a curse. Now instead of being saved, they're being lost. Just that simple. Then I had an experience with that guy here. And see, I know all these people. Eh? They know me, and I know them. And that Amos here in Northway, he used to live in Brightstone. But when that split came in, and then he was kicked from pillar to post there. And I worked with him down in Heartland Colony for a while, and over the years I've run into him, and every time I try to steer him in the right direction, so it's out of that Hutterite materialistic world. And that's the long and the short of it. And I just couldn't get nowhere. And then here some time back, maybe a year or two ago, I would go to Canadian Tire, and he was there. Well, I didn't go and talk to him because they don't want to be seen talking to him, because if he's seen talking to him, they could get into trouble. So I just paid him a Canadian Tire, and I went and did my business, and he did his business. And then 2 days later, I see him at the same spot, at Canadian Tire. And I wanted to go talk to him, but like I say, I didn't. And then 3 times in 1 week, I run into that man. So I said, Lord, you're trying to tell me something. I'm going to talk to him. So what I did, I sent him some books and some CDs and that Jeremy's testimony and the different things. And because I wanted to steer him in the right direction towards the heavenlies. And so a few days after I sent him the books, I saw him over at Sobeys. Well, this time I went to talk to the man. I said, Amos, how are you doing? Like, he knows me and I know him. And I've been trying to talk to him for forever and a day. I could tell they don't like talk to me. But anyway, I got him cornered there. So I asked him, did he get the books I sent you? So he said, yeah. So I said, what did he do? Throw them out? Yep, some of them. I said, that's the worst thing he could have done. And see, before that, I went to check out. He's got 44 grandchildren. And he's got, I don't know how many sons and daughters he has, maybe 7 or 8. And because he rejected the truth for the day. See, what we have here, we don't just that randomly go send out books and do things. It was it's all a divine intervention, where the Lord would move on me to send this individual some books, or talk to him, or call him up, or go visit, or things like that. It's all designed by by the God of glory, by the Lord Jesus Christ, by the Spirit of the living God. And we don't do it that way. We just do it wherever there's a hope, you know. So that's what I did. I sent him the book, hoping against hope that he would grab a hold of truth. Because this is the only truth and this hour that's out there. If you reject that, I'm afraid you're going to go out to hell and death. You're going to get out and get lost. And that's what the difference is between you and your whole household. You see, if he would have accepted it, his whole household, I don't know how God does it, but I know for a fact he was that structure. He was that person that the Lord wanted to come and work for me, and I'll see to it that you and your whole household will be saved. That's what Philip told that Ethiopian, that man from Ethiopia. He saw there trying to read the Bible, and he told that Ethiopian, if you can believe, you and your whole household will be saved. Well, the man believed, and he went down, and he got baptized in Jesus' name, and then he went back to Ethiopia, and I guarantee you, he went and told his whole family, and his whole household was then saved under those circumstances.
You can take the flip side in the scripture. Like if you go back to the days of Jericho when the Israelites were coming into the land of Canaan, and there was Rahab. She helped those two spies out and hid them from the leaders of Jericho. And then she made a kind of a covenant with those two spies. She knew that the God of heaven was behind the Israelis, and she wanted to be part of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said to her, if you have that red thread hanging down your window, and you have your whole household in the place where you live when we come, then you will be saved. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, the blood is going to be on your hand, and we're going to be free of it. So if you take the flip side of that story, like Rahab and all her household were there when they went around Jericho, and Jericho fell, the walls fell, and she and her household were all prepared because Rahab believed in the God of Israel and what he was doing. So she saved her whole household. Now, if she would not have believed, her whole household would have fallen into the same detriment that all the rest of Jericho fell into. They all were killed. But she believed, and therefore she was able to save her household. So you can take the flip side of every story, especially that one. How she, being a pagan,
a prostitute, down at the lowest level,
and she was able to save her household, and she's even found in the genealogy of Jesus.
When
you trace it all into, she was part of it because she believed. And that's the power of believing, what it does to you, because you believe in God and in His righteousness, and then something happens and transpires in your life. If you don't, then it's already, your life is already dead. There is no point in, what point is there? Like, we've seen and witnessed it in this truth with people that have forsaken the way of God and have decided to compromise, and their life was not worth anymore, and not too long after, they died. God just took them off the scene. You can see it with Bud Thompson, how God dealt with him. You can see it with Benjamin Boyd, because he compromised and couldn't stand up for what is right and the righteousness. Then he developed some brain disease, and in a week's time he was dead. See, these things don't just happen. It's no coincidence. There is no coincidence in God. There is no accidental thing in God. It's all predestinated, and if people cannot do their part, then that whole household gets lost in it all.
Going back to that Amos, when I had an encounter with him over at Sobeys, and I talked to him for a bit, and I told him, when you threw these books out, that's the worst thing that you could have done for yourself. And not only for yourself, for your family. Like I went and, like I said, I went and studied his whole family structure, 44 grandchildren. And then 2 weeks later, I looked at that Hutterite app, and here his wife up and died. And he just himself, he pulled the plug on his whole family structure. First thing happened, his wife up and died, and then it was all over for him and for his siblings and for everybody around him, because he rejected the truth for his day. That's the righteous, what it says in the Bible, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. The righteousness for your day and hour has always been the message for your day and hour. This here, that what you and I are doing here, we have a message for the day and hour we're living in. We're only two people that have an exit route out of this hell that's coming. And if you can get yourself to a place where you believe what we're saying, because it's not us that said, back in the day we said, Lord, do with us as you see fit. Use us for your glory. Everything that we see and do, it's instigated by heaven. We got nothing to do with it because we don't have enough brains to put this whole thing together. We don't know what to say, what to do, but the Lord has honed us out and he brought us to the message of the hour, to the message of Brother Branham, and then he continued with the message of Brother Jackson, and he just let us learn, for years we've been taught, and then when they passed away, he said, he tested each one of us, and he found you and I faithful to do the thing we're doing here. He found you and I faithful to deliver that meat in due season and to roll out that living water that it talks about in the book of Revelation. It's not our living water. This here is not our program. We just decided one day we want to follow the Lord. We want to do whatever it takes. Because I saw some things. We had a man come around, and he told us what that other thing is all about. It's not but materialism. It's got no value for Christianity. It got no use for Jesus Christ. Because the minute I went up against them, they told me, you got till sundown to get out of here. Because our program does not work with your program. You're causing problems here. You're igniting the whole colony structure. I couldn't function in there. They just won't let me, you know. So they don't want no Christianity in these colonies. But we're doing whatever we can, so we're out of here, and sometimes we send some books in to some people that we think where there's a little bit of hope. Well, if they reject them, well, they don't reject us. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ, because God knew in the end time this is what's going to take place. So he moved in us to do exactly what we're doing here, and then we send them over. Sometimes we encounter some people that we can talk to. Whatever the Lord has set up, sometimes he's supernaturally... we run into people supernaturally sometimes. And like I say, sometimes he'll move on us to go and touch base with somebody. And sometimes he'll even send us all the way to Israel. Like that one time he sent us, we went to Israel for 2 months. And because I know there's somebody there the Lord wants us to talk to. And here we thought it'll be some rabbi or some Jewish person that we talked to. We tried to talk to these Israelites over there, we couldn't even get near them. They made fun of us. And then lo and behold, one Friday night, we're standing there at that Western Wall up on the lookout tower, and here are these two girls from Germany. And the Lord took us all the way to Germany just to talk to these two girls from Germany. And we had a hallelujah time, like I said the other day. And when the Lord set it up and put this thing together, because I must needs go to Samaria. I must needs go to Israel. I must needs go to Jerusalem. And that's where we met these two girls. That's just how our life has been. It's an exciting life. Maybe if you want a challenge in your life, you just give the Lord a chance. Lord, use me, and he can do wherever you're at. You know, I was in that colony forever and a day, and I didn't do it. Everything I did. I did it everything that I could, but you can't do very much in it because you're going to be persecuted. Eventually, at the end of the day, they let me know, you got till sundown to get out of here because your stuff doesn't work with our program. And that's the way our life has been. And I tell you what, if you want a challenge in life, some people, they like a challenge. Some people, they're just like a piece of driftwood. They just kind of drift along like we're living beside a river. And sometimes you see a stick or a piece of log, and that stick would go just like a driftwood does, just go down the river, and it gets caught. Sometimes they get caught on the bank, and they sit there for a while, and then along comes a little bit of a rain, and that picks up that stick and takes them a little bit further. That's how some people are, but if you really want a challenge, go on a fast for 40 days, or for a week, or for 3 days, or whatever. You find yourself in a different world mm-hmm. than what you're used to. That's what you're doing. Time to time, you go on a fast, and it opens up the heavenly realm for you. Then you see things more with the eyes of reality. Like I said last night, I had a dream. I saw myself working down that Mayfair College. I used to work down there when it started up, and it's all pure materialism. It was almost a nightmare having to work there. But these people down there, they're happier than a pig in mud, you know. And that's the only life they know. That's what they decided to do. They decided that's all they want is materialism. And these colonies are full of that. But hopefully somehow the Lord will have a way. And that, like I said the other day, they're relatively clean people and they mean well. Maybe the Lord will take them over into that as the sheep, you know, like those sheep when they come and separate the sheep from the goat. And then he told those sheep to go into that everlasting kingdom, that millennium. It's that millennium. And I don't know what God asked. I just know what he asked for us. You and I, we got to do what we got to do. We've been holding on to do this specific thing to tell people what's going on out there. Without the ministry of Brother Branham, like I said the other day, I wouldn't want to live. You know, there's nothing, there's no value in life without the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson. And we saturated ourselves for the last 20, 30 years with that, with what they taught. And in fact, I got it on my phone here. Just put in on our website, just punch in the feast, the table. And it gives you 40 years of sermon that Brother Branham preached. Very interesting. That's where we learned. We learned more from the ministry of Brother Branham in the short time that we've been listening to him than in all my lifetime that I taught, learned in that colony. And my dad, he was the best of the best on that system. He was a good school teacher. He was a good preacher. He'd tell you things that nobody else would tell you. Like I say, he was the best of the best. But I didn't learn nothing because in 3 years with Brother Branham, I learned them more than a lifetime listening to my dad. He couldn't tell you the things for that matter to the day and hour we're living in. He didn't tell us about God sending a prophet. He didn't tell us about the seven stars and all these things. I had to go to the ministry of Brother Branham and Brother Jackson to learn exactly what these seven stars meant. When John on the Isle of Patmos turned around and he saw Jesus standing there with seven stars in his hand, then a little later on he went to explain the seven star that you saw in my right hand. They're the seven angels to the seven church ages. And he told us there's going to be seven church ages. Throughout the grace age, there's going to be seven church ages. And this is eternal life. If you can get yourself to listen, to believe that, what I'm doing in here, because he said when he was still here, this is going to be eternal life, that they believe on them whom I will send. And each church age had an angelic messenger, and it just linked up with the vocal cord of Brother Branham. And then when Brother Branham goes off the scene, that angel, that same angel of the church age of Laodicea that Jesus held at his right hand there, he took the vocal cord of Raven M. Jackson. And then he goes off the scene. And then we were all being tested. We thought James Allen will take it on to the next phase, to the next level. And here, lo and behold, he comes out, we're in the third day. Well, we knew we were not in the third day. So that angel couldn't use James Allen to continue. So we were all being tested, and he found you and I, who is then that faithful and wise servant that the Lord has found fit to deliver meat in due season. That's what we're doing here. We're delivering meat in due season. We're telling people that thing that has eternal value. That's why the Lord took him so serious when that John here from Samaphon, when he refused to move on, when he refused to listen, and he sent the books back. We meant to dwell with him because over the course of my life, I run into that man time and time and time again. And I took every opportunity to try to steer him in the right direction. You give up that materialistic job. and go on into the heavenly realm. Go on to follow Jesus. But he just couldn't give up that materialism. And then he had a stroke and died. And the same thing happened with that Amos here. He just could not come and convince himself. He tried to live down in Brightstown, and then when that split came, he moved to Heartland, and he went down the trees bank for a while, and eventually ended up here in Orquay, and then he'd be there forever and a day. And I'd run into him. We delivered cement there when I was working for Woods Brothers, and I was able to talk to him every chance I got. And of course, when he sees me, they think they have the rights and the license to mock us, you know, and to make fun of us. But well, that's all right. I don't mind. See, we're about the Lord's business. We're doing this here thing because the Lord directed us to do it. Because we don't have a program of our own. Because the minute you have a program of our own, you're doing your own thing. And your own thing is like filthy rags in the eyes of God.
People think that God's going to come down from heaven and speak to them. And sometimes God, most of the time, uses individuals to speak to people, to go tell you something in your life to clean up or to do something. Or like God uses people. That's why he used Brother Brenham. He used Brother Jackson, using us so that we continue to uphold this truth that was given to us, that was restored in the Laodicea church hour. And when God sends us somewhere to talk, speak to people, God has put something on our hearts to share with that person. And if that person doesn't take it seriously, they think that the Lord will speak to them directly. But sometimes God uses a person to tell you something. And if you can accept that correction from a person, now that's something, that's a whole different matter for most people. They don't seem to take kindly when somebody, another person, tells them something that they need to correct in their lives. So they just excuse it as, you know, if God wants to tell me something, he'll tell me himself. I don't need to listen to what you have to say. But that's the very thing that's going to judge them one day.
That's the very thing that I told that Dave Wallner, that preacher Dave. Everybody knows preacher Dave. And I used to go to his church there one time. And then I know I'm kind of, over the years, I had a lot to do with him. And anyway, he had this guy come in from Nigeria, and he prophesied over him that God will use his ministry to every Hutterite that's going to be converted will have to come through his window, like through him, you know. And then he believed that, and I know it was not true, because Dave didn't have the word. He didn't have the message for his day. He didn't even believe that God sent the prophet. He didn't even believe that God sent Brother Branham. In fact, he's the one that told me about that Brother Branham stuff is the biggest cult that ever was. And he tried to veer me away from the ministry of Brother Branham. Anyway, the time went on, and I ran into him one time, and I said, Dave, the Lord's not going to use you to convert the Hutterites. And you see, everybody seems to think that God's going to use to convert the Hutterites. Well, and he said that very thing. If the Lord wants to tell me, he's going to tell me himself. Well, I said, what if he sent me to tell you that? Well, if he wants to tell me, he'll tell me that himself. See, that's exactly what. Sometimes the Lord will use me to go talk to that guy. And like that episode I told you about that I had down at the Landmark, I tried to get away from it. See, when the Lord says he wants you to go tell, then you want to get out of it, you know. I tried for months to get out of it, but the Lord wouldn't let me up. And eventually I had to go and tell those people what's going on. And that's just our job. That's the job description we have. And from time to time, that's what we have to do. And it's not a very pleasant thing when he told me to go up and talk to these other preachers. I know at the end of the day, I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to lose my family and all everything I ever worked for. And one day, I just became a vagabond simply because I went up there and told them the truth. And they didn't like to hear the truth. And of course, at the end of the day, I was terminated, and that's all right, because now I found this precious gold mine. I would have never found it in that colony. The Lord had to take me out of there, and then, like I kept saying, He doesn't require of everybody what He requires of you and I. Some people, they can go to heaven if can only get them there and believe what you're trying to tell them, and they'll have an expected end. They don't have to expect everybody to just leave like He did you and I, and having a family. But for some people, He requires a lot more than He does from you and I. Like, He sometimes puts us in a fast for 40 days. Well, He doesn't require that from everybody, but it'd be a good idea if they would, because it opens up another avenue. It opens up the heavenly realm, and you go into another dimension that you would otherwise not see. But anyway, that's our job, and like we were just trying to tell you today, there's another side to it. If you don't believe, you'll be damned. You and your whole household will be damned. But if you believe, you and your whole household will be saved. That's a good example of what happened to Rahab. Those two spies, they told Rahab, you bring your whole household. It's kind of an example. It's kind of a principle that God has. That's why we keep saying, you're that son. You're that individual. You're that individual, whether you're male or a female. It doesn't really matter to the Lord. If you can get yourself to a place where you believe, you and your children and your grandchildren, they'll all be somehow, they will be that in that heavenly glory. Just that simple. And if you don't believe, well, the ball's in your court and your whole household will be damned. Just that simple. I don't know how simple you could put it, because we're talking from experience and we're talking from principles like you're bringing up that Rahab. It's a pure example of what happens. If she would have rejected it, she would have gone down with Jericho just like everybody else. But she believed them spies. She believed that they were special people. She believed the message for her day. That was the Israelites at that particular moment in time. And she believed it, and she and her whole household got salvation. Somehow or other, God makes it happen.
Heavenly Father, we just want to come before You. We just want to help people see Your statutes and Your principles that You have in Your Word, Lord. That if they can believe, their whole household will be saved. And on the flip side, if they don't believe, then nothing's going to become of their household. So we just want to have the people have a blessed end in life. So help them to understand Your principles, Your statutes, and all Your ordinances that You have in Your Word. We give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.